Libertarian or conservative? How about a take on government that's just chock full of common sense? Kristen B. Tate gives her take exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us. A big, busy, news-breaking afternoon, and we continue to roll through. Coming up, Shelley Goldberg is going to talk to us in the parenting segment today a little bit about how to cultivate courage in our kids. And when you look at the headlines, you definitely need a dose of that. John Catsimatidis also on the way. He was at the big New York Republican gala last night. We'll get some thoughts on where the party in that state is going and what they're doing. But let's first turn to that aforementioned Kristen B. Tate, who rejoins us for her weekly Tate Take. Kristen, good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, as always, for having me, Kev.
So, Bob, Mr. Barr, Bob Barr, that's a name from the past, Clinton impeachment era. William Barr, no relation to the aforementioned Bob Barr, is set to deliver a Christmas gift to Democrats or a real downer tomorrow? What's your take on what you think is going to happen there, Kristen?
Well, I think that the report will probably be pretty heavily redacted, and there won't be too much for the Democrats to sink their teeth into. So, of course, they're going to start wailing and demanding that an unredacted version of the report be released, which, of course, is illegal. But, of course, Kevin, you know, the Democrats refuse to take no collusion as an answer. But Maxine Waters even said that the Mueller report is, quote, not the end of anything. They're completely delusional. And I think their reaction to what the report says will come down to this. They bet very heavily on Mueller finding something that was, you know, worthy of impeachment or at least nefarious. And the no collusion finding has basically hit them like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
And now they're getting desperate.
Well, and, you know, if they had had any degree of objectivity about the process and forget what they said on TV in terms of punditry, but if they had just in the back of their mind said, OK, what's the play if he really didn't do it? And it seems like none of them can accept that that was even a possibility, even now after the rest of the world has largely moved on.
That's exactly right. And something I think a lot of Democrats may not realize yet is that their collective obsession with the Mueller report, I think, was the only thing unifying the Democrats for the last 2 years. And it lessened the need for them to come up with unifying policy principles. So now that the collusion narrative has crumbled, they've lost their only unifying principle as a party. So
right.
That's going to hurt them going into next year. They've got to shift to policy, but I don't see them doing that right
well,
now.
Well, and one caveat to that, Kristen, they have. Everyone running for president is going to be on some level a socialist. So when you had reasonable people in the party, quote unquote reasonable, I don't think the Democrat policies are much reasonable at all, but more traditional Democrats, when you didn't have them engaging a political policy process, then you let Bernie Sanders outflank you. He felt cheated in 16. Now all these new guys feel like that's the only place that traction's being received, especially with AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar jumping to the front of the pack. So the one unifying policy principle that they've come up with is socialized stuff. And that is not going to play. I mean, we've seen it in the past. McGovern didn't have any success with that. When you've had these really hardcore left progressives be the star of the Democratic dance, they generally don't do well.
Right. But I do think that Nancy Pelosi, for example, she's been around long enough to understand what you just said, Kevin. And that's why I think she's terrified of these progressives who are sucking up all the oxygen in the room and who have hijacked the party's messaging. But I do think the Democratic Party is deeply fractured.
Oh, I
do think
it's,
there are some moderates who are being completely overrun by these progressive loons.
Yeah, no, I think they've got a massive fissure and it's going to be a problem. And it's going to be interesting to see how they address it, because obviously things are going to get amplified the closer we get to 2020. And it appears as though these newer voices are pushing the old guys out of the way. I mean, it's hard to call Bernie a new voice, but when he's the guy that gets on Fox News and actually has 3 million people tune in to hear what he says. I mean, that's rather remarkable for someone with his policy positions. So anyway, hey, let's shift gears to what you wrote about this week for The Hill, where Kristen Tate does contribute opinion commentary on a weekly basis. You write, the sheer size of our government workforce is an alarming problem. Now, for people that are just joining us, Kristen's specialty, her joie de vivre of what she writes and where she like really puts the emphasis and the focus is usually on fiscal stuff, particularly fiscally responsible policy. And I don't think anybody's ever taken a look at the size of the workforce, Kristen, in commentary. What did you find when you went to write about this?
Right. So a lot of people think that the federal government employs about 2 million workers because that is the number of full-time government employees, but they don't take into account the other workers who rely on the government for their paychecks, which includes the Postal Service employees, active duty military personnel, and then this huge, what I call shadow government of contract workers who are, you know, they're not receiving benefits, but they're often paid even more than the full-time government workers, and many are contractors for decades. So all in all, I found that the government pays nearly 9.1 million Americans paychecks every month. That is significantly larger than the people that Walmart employs. Walmart is the nation's biggest private sector employer with 1.5 million workers. So I just wanted to highlight the fact that the government is now the largest employer in the nation. And I think there's this misconception that the government needs to be some sort of jobs program. I mean, we saw the panic when the government shut down that a bunch of non-essential government employees would go without their paychecks. And it really spoke to, in my mind, the change in perception of the role of the government as it pertains to employing Americans.
Well, and when you think about that, there's some greater philosophical principles that are going to be coming into play, because if people grow up thinking the government owes me a job, we're literally making that you know, philosophy come true, you know, in some respects. And I know Obama, like, he really instituted policies that incentivized government hirings as opposed to private sector hirings. And that's why he always bragged about how many jobs the government had created, because that was the only place where he saw job creation.
And now people like AOC are pushing these guaranteed government jobs programs.
Right.
So this is going in the wrong direction. And especially if we get a Democrat in the White House, the federal workforce numbers are going to shoot way up, while the private sector employer figures will probably go down, because Democrats want to raise taxes and expand the government, which would hurt private sector employers.
Well, you need to read her piece, The Sheer Size of Our Government Workforce is an Alarming Problem. It is filled, chock full of common sense, as it always is when it's authored by Kristen B. Tate. Kristen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
Coming up next, my Parenting Express. Shelley Goldberg with one parenting hack for your week, how to institute courage in your kid's life. Stay with us.